you in the whole 6010.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus DFS, CSS DFS podcast. You can find us on video every Thursday on ESPN NFL's YouTube feed, and the podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you listen to podcasts. My name is Daniel Dopp. To my left is Mike Clay. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm doing well. We may have too many letters in the show name because you said the DFS part twice.
DFS. Oh, my gosh.
XFL.
I got to tell you.
NCAA.
It's been a long season.
It has. And we're week 17, this is. One more regular season week to go. Well, including this one, we have two more. Then the playoffs, so we're going to be here through the playoffs.
Yes,
so,
we are. We're going to be here through the playoffs. In case you are out of it for your regular season fantasy leagues, I guess this is the championship week. Next week would be championship week. We're still doing DFS all the way through the playoffs. We're going to have a ton of fun, except for Pro Bowl week, because how do you do DFS during
Pro Bowl
week?
Yeah, we don't do Pro Bowl.
We don't do that. We are also here with our buddy Al Zeidenfeld. Al, coming to us all the way from sunny Los Angeles, California. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. I'm from the Department of Redundancy Department, just like the DFS, CFS, DFS,
OTD, OFP,
I love it.
AAF, ADOT, podcast.
I hate the way you guys make fun of me all the time for everything. All right, listen, let's talk about last week, week 16. Tough recap for me. Mike Clay had 137.86 points. I had 136.16 points. Ooh. I got beat by 1.7 fantasy points.
That was rough.
By Mike Clay. And you want to know why, guys? Do you want to know? Thank you for asking. I'll tell you why. It's because Tyreek freaking Hill. I was up the entire game on Mike. And then Tyreek Hill just decimated any chance I had. And who did you have?
And Najee Harris.
You had Najee Harris.
I actually did not start a player who didn't practice all week. So I don't know how bad I feel.
Come on.
But you're right. You need one more catch from Hill. But I got the one extra catch or carry from Harris and got over the top. So it was close, though. And by the way, we should point out, you know, decent week, decent scores. And we had James Robinson who got us 1 point. Both of us had him. So,
and we still had a decent scores for losing
a
guy.
No doubt. Definitely did well. Not as good as the Drew Tang clan, though. 242.5. What a week there. That's a big time score.
I don't know what I'm more impressed by, the 242.5 or the username the Drew Tang clan.
Yeah.
Al, which one you picking there?
I'm going with the Drew Tang clan because I like to diversify my tournament portfolios.
Yeah, I like that. I'm with you right there. So Mike right now is up on me total season 9-7. I really needed a win last week, so I got 2 weeks to catch up. I can tie.
Well, you have the playoffs too.
We count through the playoffs. Long way to go. Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of football left to be played.
Yep.
All right, you're up 41 points overall in the aggregate. Join our free league over at DraftKings. Free to enter, $200 in total prizes. Follow at Mike Clay NFL, at Daniel Dopp, at Al Zeidenfeld. We'll tweet out a link to the league. We don't tell everybody that it's free on Twitter. We just tell those of you that are here listening or watching that it's free.
Little Easter egg.
Yeah. So come hang out with us. Maybe you can win a little bit of money, and it doesn't cost you anything.
Remember the Madden Easter eggs? You can plug in the crazy codes. You know, obviously, we lost John Madden last night, which is awful for the sport of football, but I've been thinking about Madden a lot and the old games and stuff, and there was always some Easter eggs you could plug in and mess around with. And as kids, you love that. Now it's more about, you know, you want a fair, you know, it's not fun if you're blowing teams out 80-0, but when you're kids, you want all those crazy things you can do. You can throw the ball like 100 yards and stuff. There was always goofy stuff like
80-yard field goals.
Oh, man, I remember that. Like Saturday mornings growing up, putting in Madden and just messing around with it. So
it's tough. We talked about John and JD on the podcast, the earlier podcast today. One thing I will say, though, with John Madden, I have just so many good memories of everything that has to do with that guy. I never got to meet him, never did anything with him, but like I grew up playing his video game, and he was such an impactful part of my life in a way that I can't even describe. So, and I know you're the same, and so many of us that grew up in that generation where like the Madden video game helped us get into football the way that it did.
I was going to say, like, I'm older now, I have kids. I like to play like the Switch with them. Like we play games, board games, card games, video games. And I don't play like Madden as much as I used to.
Sure.
I always get it though, like on principle.
Yeah.
Like I just have to have it. It's just a thing, right? I still have, I have the ones going all the way back to the Super Nintendo and the PlayStation 2 and stuff. Just have the copies. It's just a thing. It's like a collector's item. Just personally, it reminds me of being a kid, you know? So you don't even have to play it as much. I played a little just cause you know, we know the people that work there and they're great people and they work hard.
Awesome people.
And it's fun, but you know, it's not like the old day, not like college where we did entire seasons in like a week. Like it was a huge deal, but gosh. You still have one. Don't you still do one?
I do. Yeah. With our buddy, Mike Rothstein. Yes, I have a five-person dynasty that we do, and it's a lot of fun. So much fun to be able to play against other people. Yep. All right. With that being said, we're going to move on here to our week 17 DFS podcast analysis. Let's talk about some quarterbacks.
Just say letters. That's fine.
Yeah. I hate you.
Let's talk about Trey Lance.
You know what, Al? I don't need to hear the my favorite thing is just hearing Al laughing in the background and not being able to see his face on the
it's
screen.
It's like, why am I doing this?
I know.
Can I start my stream now? Why am I here?
It's great. Yeah, my favorite part of the day.
Where Al, just in case people want to go from watching this to watching your stream, where do we find your stream at again real quick?
Smizzle.tv/live will take you there anytime that I am live. If you're not already, just go drop a follow and you'll get notifications anytime I do go live.
I get them.
I got a notification this week saying that Trey Lance was $4,800 taking on the Houston Texans, Mike Clay, and I'm curious. That's a really low price point for a guy that we've seen use his legs, but wow, that's a dart throw of a play this week. Tell me about Trey Lance. Are you having more faith in it than I guess I feel like I am?
Yeah, with the current projected starting quarterback, and by the way, we should point this out. This is the largest slate of the season, right? Because there's no Thursday game this week. There's no Saturday games. You have pretty all the 1-4s. I mean, there's a Sunday night and Sunday night, Monday night. That's it. So almost 14 out of 16 games are on this slate. So you have a ton of options. So that means you have 28 projected starting quarterbacks.
That's not how big the slate is, though. It's about how well you utilize the players in the slate.
I'm just saying, I'm getting to my point.
Okay.
Right. I see what you did there. I got that reference, but that's not my...
You got it. But it was also a little bit of a delay.
It was a delay. It was because I thought you were correcting me on something else before I processed what you were saying. This is a family podcast.
I know. I'm so
cut
sorry.
That out.
I'm
we're,
so
we're sorry. Cutting that. This is not live. We can cut that. So my point, anyway,
what
my family-friendly point,
yes,
Daniel,
point. Yes.
Is that there are 28 projected quarterbacks on the slate, and as of now, based on the players we think are going to play, he is the cheapest on the slate. Okay? So that's where I was going with that.
Full-on punt, then, as the cheapest player.
No doubt about it. But you don't just punt the cheapest guy always. There's a reason why you might go this direction. The reason is that we've seen him for a game and a half this year, right? Almost a half game against Seattle. I talked about this on the first pod, but I'll mention it again. Played half of the game against Seattle, 49% of the snaps, threw two touchdowns, ran for 41 yards at 20 fantasy points in a half a game, okay? Then he starts against Arizona in week 5 when they had J.J. Watt and they're playing outstanding defense, 192 yards, didn't throw a touchdown, but had 16 for 89 on the ground. 16 carries is a huge number, even for Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts. It's a huge number. 11 were designed runs, so they were calling plays to use his legs, had 14 and a half fantasy points. Nothing crazy by any means, but I'm going up against Houston this week. Not very efficient against opposing quarterbacks. You could certainly produce against them. So pretty much a neutral or good matchup. Super cheap. I think you'd have a hard time building a cash lineup without him this week, especially if you want to pay up for a guy like Cooper Kupp or Jonathan Taylor or both of those guys. He opens up a lot of opportunities to spend elsewhere.
Sure. Love that. We'll definitely keep watching throughout the rest of the week, too, to see how everything progresses. Al, let's talk about Dak Prescott taking on the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. You look at, I mean, Dak and that Cowboys offense has just scoring so many points. They could have scored 80 last week against Washington if they hadn't stopped playing at halftime. What is it that you like about Dak this week, Al?
So, like, all that. All that stuff that you just said, that the Cowboys offense now being a fully operational battle station, a reference that probably Mike doesn't get.
No, I get it. I get it, though.
I know that you get it. I do all these references for you.
Nope, I got nothing. Our streak is alive.
God darn it. So basically they have CeeDee Lamb, they have Cooper, they have Schultz, they have every single option in the passing game for Dak. They are playing at home, a place where he has done exceptionally well, and most quarterbacks do exceptionally well. One of the leading predictors of quarterback or success is efficiency. That efficiency is driven by implied team totals. They correlate. They're not driven by one another. So they have a team total of 28.5 points. That's four touchdowns probably, right? Like a little bit more than four touchdowns. So if he throws for multiple touchdowns, something that he has done in every home game this season, and he has over 295 pass yards in each of his past three home games, in the highest totaled game of the day with the closest spread, And it's the latest game going, so you opt, you opt into allowing yourself a little bit more flexibility. That if you are blocked, you can then pivot with late swap in tournaments and get off of things. It basically offers you all the best options that you can get in terms of success in daily fantasy. So I love Dak doubles this week.
Love that. Love that. A couple other quarterbacks that we like: Tom Brady, $7,600 taking on the New York Jets. Josh Allen, $8,000 taken on the Atlanta Falcons. Josh Allen, the most expensive quarterback on the slate, I believe. Is that correct?
Yep, at home against Atlanta, though. Yeah. I believe he's number one at 8K. Yep.
Jalen Hurts, $6,600 taking on the Washington football team. That could be someone to watch as well. All right, let's talk about some running backs. Speaking of Washington football team, Antonio Gibson, sub 6K this week, Mike. Only $5,900 taken on the Philly defense. That Philly defense has been pretty good, and that Washington team has struggled. But still, sub 6K for a running back like Antonio Gibson, there's got to be a reason why you like him here.
I could have went so many directions at running back. There's so many options. Mm-hmm. In fact, I initially wrote up Jonathan Taylor. I was going to talk about him, but then Carson Wentz went on the COVID list. We thought he wasn't going to play, and that hurt. Then I'm like, do I want to spend up when their offense might be worse? But now Wentz might be back, so now it might be worth it to spend up. But anyway, he's on our list of great values. You can certainly use him if you want to go that direction, especially since Wentz has a decent chance to play now. But I still like Gibson. I was going to fire him up regardless in my lineup this week. You mentioned he's under 6K. This is a guy who last week had 58 yards and a touchdown on only 20 snaps. Why did he play 20 snaps? It was a blowout and he rested. Okay. You don't necessarily expect that every week. It was kind of a crazy game against Dallas where they fell way behind early and they just put him on ice for the rest of the game. So still was decently productive. Let's look back at seven games that he has played since the week 9 bye, right? Say they're bye. He was beat up before that, got healthy, comes back. Since that game, number 5 scoring fantasy running back, his 594 yards and 5 touchdowns in those 7 games, including last week where he was limited. 18 plus fantasy points in 4 of the 7 games, including the game just 2 weeks ago against the Eagles. It's 65 yards and a touchdown on 21 touches in that game. He's the number 1 running back during these 7 weeks in expected fantasy points, so the opportunity for him has been tremendous. And he's averaging 21 touches per game. That's big volume, big usage, obviously. He's playing well. More involvement in the passing game. So much to like there. Fourth in the league this year. This is including early in the season when he was limited. Fourth at running back in carries and 11th in catches. You believe he's 11th in catches?
No, I wouldn't have guessed that.
We were so upset he wasn't getting targeted. He's 11th in catches at running back. And yes, you're right. This is a tough matchup. The Eagles have been much better against running backs as of late because they're not facing as much volume because they're running more and the game's going faster and the team opposing team is not running against them or running as many plays against them.
Sure.
So it is a tougher matchup than usual, but based on getting 20 touches a game at this price point, Gibson is a good value.
Yeah, most running backs you can get sub 6K that are going to get that kind of workload.
No doubt.
20 kind
no
of touches
doubt.
You're always in on for. Al, let's talk about Devin Singletary. $5,400 taking on the Atlanta Falcons. You saw what Singletary did last week, and Atlanta definitely looks like they can be had. Another cheap running back here, though. What do you like about Devin Singletary this week?
So I like playing running backs that are playing at home and favored, especially when they're favored by like 7 or more points. A lot of back-tested data showing that they do exceed their fantasy projection in those situations. He touches every single box here, and I like him more if Zach Moss is a healthy scratch, which we've seen multiple times, but not last week. His two highest touch totals on the season have come in the last 2 weeks, and Atlanta allows the third most points per drive in the league. So big time touchdown upside. His usage in the passing game is somewhat sporadic. Some weeks he has like 6 targets, some weeks he has 1. So like, that's not something I can totally project or predict, but at least we know that it is there and it has been there more recently than it was at the beginning of the season. And he's looked great. Like, he passes the eye test. He's looked phenomenal this year. And if you just give him 15 to 25 touches every week, there's big time touchdown upside on a team that has a projected team total of like 29.5 on field points.
Yeah, love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, talked about him in the main show too, right? Yep. 14 plus points in 3 straight games, touchdowns in back-to-back games, 70 mm-hmm. plus percent of the snaps in 3 straight games. So a lot of usage. He's their main guy right now, and they're a very high-scoring offense and a good matchup at home. I'm with you, Al.
Not just a tournament play, a cash line of play as well at that
no
price
doubt,
point.
No doubt, yeah.
Absolutely. A couple of the guys that we like as well, David Montgomery, $6,500 taken on the New York Giants. Jonathan Taylor, $9K taken on the Raiders. Devin Singletary, we just talked about, at $5,400. DeAndre Swift, if he plays, only $6,000 against Seattle. Uh-huh. Boy, that would be such a low price. That's like early season DeAndre Swift before they priced him back up. Michael Carter, $5,100 taking on Tampa with the workload that he gets there in the passing game.
Not as much in the passing game with Zach Wilson in there. It was really Mike White that heavily targeted him. So his targets haven't been that good with Wilson, but the carries were much better last week. This is a tough matchup against Tampa Bay, but it's the skill level and the overall volume. He's been their feature back, and he's fully healthy, and it was back in there. It was over 100 yards last week. So
yeah.
At this price point, definitely worthwhile.
$6,300 for Ronald Jones on the other side of that game. You also have Josh Jacobs, $6,200 on the other side of Jonathan Taylor. Taken on the Colts. Sony Michel, sub $6,000. $5,800 taken on the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, you have Daryl Henderson on IR, but you have Cam Akers maybe coming back, but there's almost no way Akers isn't going to be limited in this game, right? You're probably thinking his first game back from the Achilles. Amazing that he's coming back, first of all. Unbelievable.
Pretty crazy.
Probably gets a few touches, but Sony Michel could play 80% of the snaps. So I like him a lot.
Okay, and then we also like Darrell Williams, $5,800, taken on the Cincinnati Bengals. One thing that I notice in listing all these players, there's no one in between Jonathan Taylor and, like, nobody in the $8,000 or $7,000 price range. It's like you're either paying up because Jonathan Taylor's volume, or you're looking for things that are maybe a little bit more valuable rather than those higher-priced running backs.
Yeah, this is like almost like Christian McCaffrey peak with Jonathan Taylor and then, like, Devontae Adams with Cooper Kupp, where those guys are just so far ahead of the rest of the field that they're worthwhile. You just jam them in, and then you're willing to pay down elsewhere because they have such an edge, like 5 points a game. I mean, it's huge. So there's no, it's a viable strategy. You can pull this off this week. You can start Taylor and Kupp and then fill in the blanks. There's enough value place to do that. And there might be more as the week goes on with, you know, players going on the COVID list or out with injuries, whatever it may be. So things could change between now and game time, but there's absolutely a path to doing that. In fact, that was a little foreshadowing. That was my plan prior to the Wentz news. So I'm going to reevaluate as the week goes on. Definitely something I may do.
Mike, do you own or rent your home?
Sure do.
Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy?
What is?
Bundling policies with Geico. Uh-huh. Geico makes it easy to rent, to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around the house.
I do.
So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Support for this podcast and the following message also comes from Supercuts. Hair, Al. It has a way of growing back faster than we want it to. And somehow it can feel like we need more haircuts than we actually have time for. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I do.
I do, yeah.
Luckily,
I got this long, lustrous hair.
Yeah, you've got lustrous hair. Well, luckily, Supercuts is here to make grabbing a haircut easy. Supercuts is here for you if you're someone who needs a haircut but doesn't think they have time for a haircut. No more scouring the web for salons with availability. You can just use the Supercuts app to find the location nearest to you and check in, or you can just walk in. Another bonus, the salon shows estimated wait time so you can know exactly what you're in for. And as for the cut itself, it's always super solid thanks to Supercuts' highly trained stylists. Get in and get out and get to that thing that you needed a haircut for. Whether you've got a first date or a vacation coming up, or you just want to look good while you're doing Excel at your computer, Supercuts makes getting a haircut effortless. It's not just any haircut, it's Supercuts. Check in now on the Supercuts app or on supercuts.com.
Was that in the read, the Excel sitting at your computer doing Excel? Was that in the read?
Yeah, that's a part of the read. Yeah,
I thought you were making fun of me now.
I would never do that, Michael. That's just not a thing that I would do.
Never. You would never do that.
No way. Let's talk about wide receivers. I lied. It wasn't in the read. I feel bad. I don't want to lie to everybody. I definitely put it in there. Cooper Kupp, $9,500, taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Mike Clay and Al Zeidenfeld, just for both tournament and cash. $9,500 for Cooper Kupp.
Yes.
Does the price point matter? Okay. Does the price point matter?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
The opposite. I'll jump the gun there. Yeah. Okay. It does not matter.
I buzzed in before the light.
I was going to say that. I was going to make a Jeopardy reference or something. Yeah. Like you, or no, it'd be Family Feud, right? Where they yell the answer before the questions finish. But yeah, look, I remember last year I tweeted something about a guy that was really high priced being a really good value play or something. It was probably something off the pod, like I mentioned. And a lot of people are jumping on me like, you can't be a value play if you're priced that high or something. That's nonsense. You can be a value play at any level, right?
Yes.
If you're expected to exceed the value of your price point, you're a value play. I don't care if you're 4,800 like Trey Lance or you're priced at 9,500 like Cooper Kupp. So I do think the best value play at wide receiver this week is arguably Cooper Kupp, even though he is 9,500, which is a very high price point. He has outscored the next closest wide receiver by 89 fantasy points this year. A huge, huge gap that could widen by the end of the season, to be completely honest. 10 straight top 10 finishes. He has at least 18.5 points in every game. And at this price point, right, we want to get to, say, 25 plus points to pay off his price point, maybe 27. Well, he's gotten to 27 seven times this year. It's almost half his game. So he can definitely get to that point. And then the key, of course, this week is that he has a dream matchup. It does not get much better than facing off with Baltimore right now. They've led the fifth most fantasy points to receivers this season, but the most over the last month with all the injuries and COVID situations that they have had. 73% of receiver units that have faced them have been above their season average. And they've allowed 9.3 yards per target to receivers. Both of those are worse than the NFL. And that's the whole season, including when they had Marlon Humphrey. They've allowed 30-plus fantasy points to three different receivers. So you know they've checked that box, right? T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase both did it last week. Deontay Johnson did as well. And speaking of that game last week, 80 fantasy points allowed, not to the Bengals, just to their wide receivers. 80 fantasy points, over 400 yards.
Gosh.
They've allowed 200-plus yards to six different wide receiver units this season. I intentionally wanted to read off all of those just to drive home the point of how much wide receivers do against this team. And they're going to be shorthanded again this year. Anthony Everett has been a full-timer all season. He's in doubt this week with a chest injury. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. This group, all of the Rams receivers, should eat this week, and Cooper Kupp especially.
All right. Love that. Not that we needed all of those things to talk about how good Cooper Kupp was, but I do love that you drove the point.
Well, I wanted to talk about that matchup, too. You can apply that to Van Jefferson and Odell Beckham, too, if
can
you want to utilize it. Of course.
All right.
Of course.
And if you're going to play two of them, you might as well stack them with Matthew Stafford and then have somebody on the other side that gets 10 targets every week, kind of like, you know, Mark Andrews, and have yourself a really nice tournament lineup and then find value somewhere else.
That seems almost like foreshadowing, perhaps.
Not.
Al, let's talk about your wide receiver, because you do tournament lineups more often than not, and you were going to talk about a player that I don't think we're going to talk about anymore. Is that true?
Yeah, it stinks. So, like, here's the thing. Josh Palmer, to me, stood out as one of the most glaring values on the slate. And now with the new COVID protocols in the league, Mike Williams was going to be out for both games. Now he may be back for this game. So we're kind of in that holding pattern waiting to see. If Mike Williams does not play this Saturday, Josh Palmer at 3,600 is egregiously priced. Like, he should be like 4,500. They bumped up Isaiah McKenzie, who is now no longer a value play because everybody on the wide receiver core for Buffalo is back in play. So that bumps McKenzie back to his fourth or fifth option role. He's not going to play as many snaps, run as many routes. Same thing would happen to Palmer, where he would not play as many snaps, run as many routes, get as many targets if Big Mike is there. So if no Big Mike, yes, Josh Palmer. If Big Mike, no Josh Palmer, which leads me to Antonio Brown, who is still in an amazing spot here, 6,100. I also feel like he's a little bit of leverage off of, I mean, there's never any Buccaneer leverage, really. It's like we kind of talk about it. A lot of people are going to gravitate towards Ronald Jones because, you know, running backs against the Jets every single week. It's kind of the line from the draft movie, right? You know, like every week running back against the Jets.
Yep.
So if you want to leverage off of that, play the passing game for the Buccaneers, but every week everybody plays Brady stacks too. So Antonio Brown's going to be very popular. 6,100 is way too cheap considering the 28 targets he's gotten the last two games that he played. Now, granted, those were in week 16 and in week six, but he is a Tom Brady favorite. 10 plus targets expected from me for him for 6,100 is way too cheap. And as Mike said, there are values at every single price point. They can be at 9,500. They can be at 6,000. They can be at sub 4K. Antonio Brown really stands out again for a second straight week.
Agreed. Love that. Let's talk about a couple other wide receivers that we think have good value here this week. DJ Moore has been struggling recently, but only $5,600 against the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for somebody that is sub $6,000, trying to find a way to squeeze someone in like DJ Moore this week, Al just mentioned Antonio Brown, 6,100. Zay Jones, $3,900, taking on the Indianapolis Colts, potentially. Elijah Moore, 5,200, taking on the Bucks on the other side of, we talked a little bit earlier about Michael Carter. Thank you. Brandon Cook, $6,000, taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Hollywood Brown on the other side of the Rams game, 5,900, another sub 6K wide receiver. Jalen Waddle has been fantastic recently, taking on the Tennessee Titans, $6,700. And Amon-Ra St. Brown is still underpriced.
He is.
At $6,000, taken on the Seattle Seahawks. We thought maybe with Tim Boyle under center, we weren't going to see the same kind of workload or efficiency out of him. And spoiler alert, we did.
Yeah, he's been tremendous. They've really just decided to start featuring him. Actually, it's kind of correlated with DeAndre Swift being out.
Yes, it has.
Exactly. So little nervous about Swift potentially coming back, but nonetheless hard to bench. I don't have this on my sheet, but Kyle just texted us and said Adam Thielen's out for the year, which throws KJ Osborne perhaps back onto this list. Al, do you have Osborne's price on you?
I can look it up really quick.
Yeah, while you're talking about that, I'll talk a little bit about him. Last 4 weeks with Thielen out, or you know, they played a few snaps.
Not on the main slate.
He's not on the slate. Nope. Oh. They are playing a Sunday night football against the Packers.
All right. Well,
that'll showdown,
though, an option. So, yeah. Anyway, Osborne has been super productive over the past month. Wide receiver 16. So, if you're looking for an option for the main slate or for your season long lineup, you know, he's an option. But we did talk about that on the main show. But thanks for texting that during the show, Kyle, so that it didn't occur to me and embarrasses me on national television. So thank you for that.
Don't worry, Mike. It's not
That's
television.
Why Kyle's here, right?
That's exactly why Kyle's here.
Can we correlate all the wide receivers named Brown into a lineup? Can we play Marquise Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown,
yes.
AJ Brown.
Hollywood Brown is the flex.
Yeah.
Yep.
Play all of them.
Yep. Malcolm Brown. Maybe we could find a way to get him in there.
Yeah.
We got a lot of them.
Can't play the Browns defense because they're on Monday night.
The way quarterbacks are going down, maybe Dave Brown comes out of retirement for the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Giants might want to start Dave Brown this week, actually.
Giants, boy. You know what? I talked to a Giants fan yesterday, and I was like, remember when you guys paid $18 million a year for Kenny Galladay and then also drafted Kadarius Toney? We laughed for a second, and then I had to leave. So
then you realize you're Giants and Lions fans, and then I wasn't funny anymore.
Did you see the guy that tweeted at Mike Flynn yesterday? He's like, Flynn was like, I got to start working out again. And he's like, you remember when they paid you all that money? He's like, yeah, that was great.
Yeah. I love that. Good answer.
Yep. Good answer. All right. Let's talk about a couple of tight ends to close out the show. CJ Uzomah, $3,300, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. He has been targeted continuously, but they just have so many other really great pass catchers there, Mike, but he's actually getting a really good target share.
Yeah, there's a certain level of tight end I want to get to in my cash lineup, and I'm going to talk about Uzomah because he's a value, but the guy Al is going to talk about is actually who's in my lineup. Again, a little foreshadowing. But Uzomah, if you really want to punt, and again, this is an option for you if you want to get up to Kupp and Taylor in your lineup, right? You have to find a way to save, and this is a spot at tight end where you have some punt options. CJ Uzomah is one of them. He's less than half of the cost of several of the top tight ends, which is obviously, you know, punt territory. 6+ targets in 3 of his last 4 games. Hasn't scored a touchdown since week 7, which makes me a little nervous, but he does have 5 this season, right? So he's delivered in that department here or there. Second best catch rate at tight end. So when he's targeted those handful of times, he's going to catch most of them. And also, this is not the same situation for the Bengals that it was last week. And honestly, this season, the Bengals have had one of the easiest fantasy schedules of the season, if not the easiest. Really? A little tougher against the Chiefs, who have been good against perimeter receivers. And if those guys aren't open as often, Uzomah could be in line for one of them spikes in targets. So I think that's an interesting dynamic as well. The Chiefs are a little below average in pretty much every category against tight end, so a decent matchup. But again, there's a threshold that's a little higher I want to get to if I can a tight end. I think you can pull that off. But again, if you want to go for a full-on punt, I think Uzomah is a name to look at.
Okay. Love that. Al, let's talk about the player Mike really wants to talk about. And Dalton Schultz right now taking on the Arizona Cardinals. He has gotten a lot of targets from Dak Prescott recently. What do you like about him this week?
Yeah, 17 targets exactly in the last 2 games. I like high volume tight ends. And also, there's certainly the possibility that Arizona is very good at defending the tight end. Like if you look at their defense versus position in terms of their DraftKings points allowed, they are what, like second to last in the league. They've been stingy against tight ends, but that's a very noisy DVP because not a lot of teams really feature their tight end. So if you're relying on DVP and they've played teams that like throw like 2 or 3 balls at their tight ends more often than teams like Baltimore at the beginning of the year, who was played like Waller and TJ Hockenson, they've getting like 10 to 15 targets against tight ends against them, it's a different situation. So that's a very noisy defense versus position stat. I believe that Dalton Schultz is so much a part of this offense and that you can't really say, well, we're going to take away your tight end when CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper and everybody else is on the outside there, as well as having the Elliott and Pollard backfield. Schultz is just the guy that runs around freely and just roams around the grass area and happens to wander into the end zone a whole lot. So I absolutely love this spot. You guys know what I said about Dak earlier. And as much as Dak targets the middle of the field, which is why CeeDee Lamb really exploded out of running mostly exclusively out of the slot last year. And Dalton Schultz had a fantastic year. A lot of his targets, especially once they get inside the red zone, come to the middle of the field. And that's where Dalton Schultz gets to roam around.
Love that. Like All it. Right. Let's talk about a couple more. Brevin Jordan, $2,800 taken on San Francisco if you're looking for a cheaper play. I like him in Dynasty, just like as a long-term prospect. I'm excited to see what
he's
like.
Yeah, he's coming around the last month or so.
Yeah. Mark Andrews has been on fire. $7,400 taken on the Rams. He has been fantastic. Travis Kelce, $7,300 taken on Cincy. Gronk, $6,200 taken on the Jets. There are definitely some options here at tight end this week. All right. Now it's time.
You ready?
Beard versus the Brain is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Mike, please give everyone here in our lineup your week 17 head-to-head lineup.
All right, here it is. Trey Lance is the quarterback. Talked about him before. And then Devin Singletary and Antonio Gibson in the running back slots. Again, we broke both of them down. Cooper Kupp paying up for him at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Antonio Brown, I was able to get in there at 6,100. Josh Palmer for now at 3,600. Mike Williams is activated. I'll be pivoting off of that. Jay Jones should be an option there for sure. He's 3,900, so I'd have to tweak a little bit, maybe pay down a little at defense. Dalton Schultz at tight end. And then, interesting, this is kind of an interesting one here that you generally use in a tournament setting, but it worked out in cash, not intentionally, but it worked out. David Montgomery in the flex, and then I'm using the Bears defense against the Giants as well. So you get the running back, and if the Bears are ahead throughout, Montgomery's racking up carries and touchdowns on the ground. Then you got the Bears defense shutting down the other team. So that's a little correlation, which I don't always do. You don't need to in cash, but it worked out that way. So it's a an interesting twist for my lineup this week.
Heck yeah, I like that. That's not a bad lineup. Got to make some tweaks. One of the things that we always have to do, obviously, in DFS, just in case this is one of your first couple times listening to the show, you always got to make tweaks. You can't set your lineup.
Especially this last month.
Yes. I mean, all the COVID stuff, like you have to check back in on Sunday mornings, like, you know, 15 minutes before lineup, just to make sure that everything is good. So, all right. My head-to-head lineup against a Mike is going to start with Matthew Stafford.
Okay, I've heard of him.
$7,100. My running back is going to be Jonathan Taylor.
I've heard of him too.
$9,000 for Jonathan Taylor. My second running back is going to be Michael Carter, $5,100 of the Jets taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My wide receivers are Van Jefferson for Matthew Stafford, getting a little bit of that deep ball correlation there.
Like
T. Higgins, $6,900 taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. As well as the cheaper of the two Seattle Seahawks wide receivers, Tyler Lockett at $6,400 to take advantage of the Detroit Lions, as well as CJ Uzama as my tight end at $3,300, and Byron Pringle in the flex at $4,100 on the other side of that T. Higgins game, with the Dolphins defense at $2,800 taking on the Tennessee Titans.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. A lot of interesting names. You're investing in a couple specific games there, right?
So there are a couple specific games I'm going for.
You're hoping for points in that Chiefs-Bengals game and some Pringle involvement. So, yeah, interesting.
And hopefully, Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford get involved with each other.
Yeah, and Al's obviously going to give us this lineup. It feels like a good stars and scrubs sort of week.
It does.
Where you could pay up for a couple stars and then find some super low-end value plays, especially with the Trey Lance availability at quarterback.
Agreed. Al, give us your week 17 tournament lineup, please.
So, shocker, I'm going to go with a Dak double here. I'm going to go with Dak Prescott, Dalton Schultz, and Amari Cooper. I'm going to bring that back with Christian Kirk, who in the absence of Nuke Hopkins has done really well. I'm going to start David Montgomery at running back. There's a ton of running backs, so like I think that the percentage in terms is going to consolidate around a few of them. So I'm going off the reservation with the second running back, who's going to be Damian Harris. Not great in DraftKings in terms of like full PPR. He does not catch balls, but home favored massive market share whenever they're missing one of their plays. Like anytime Belichick is missing a toy out of his running back pool, that's better for us. So if that's a full three running backs there, I'll probably pivot to somebody else in that spot. And my secondary stack, Antonio Brown and Braxton Berrios at 3,700 for value to get a little push and pull from Tampa Bay and the Jets. And I'm going to finish it off with the Colts defense going up against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Hmm. Yeah, keep an eye on Berrios. So, you still have Crowder in the slot and you have Elijah Moore coming back too. And they still have Keelan Cole and they have Denzel Mims who's getting some runs. So that Berrios would make me nervous, but we're talking tournaments, right? So
it's every week 17 in previous years, right, has been that week when all these guys sort of play. The last 2 weeks and this week with all the COVIDity that's been going around has felt like a previous year's week 17. We're in like some groundhog day of week 17s for eternity now in daily fantasy NFL. There will be some value that opens up. When it does, we pivot.
Yeah. Like, let me ask you. Dare Ogunbowale.
I was just going to say that. We didn't talk about him at all on today's show, but only $5,100. He's another guy, but he's taking on the Patriots. Do you like him as much at value or not?
I mean, they do a lot of yardage to running backs. So it's fine, like, if you want to find a way in, but I don't think he's a tremendous cash value because Robinson was hurt before the pricing came out, so his price was bumped up for sure. So I don't know what it was the week before, what it would have been had that game been like Monday night. Something would probably would have been a lot less and we would have talked about him, but with him getting bumped up, it's not as appealing.
Okay. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We love being able to do this podcast. It is so much fun being able to talk DFS with each other, just Mike and Al and I hanging out. It's a huge blessing to us.
Legs crossed, just relaxing.
Every single week.
Applesauce.
I freaking love it. It is a blast. You guys are in our hearts and on our minds throughout this holiday season. We love you guys. Please be safe over New Year's. Have a ton of fun, but be smart. And we love you guys. We will see you next week in week 18 when I'm going to win against Mike Clay.
Happy New Year.
Bye, guys.
A Lakeford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac, brainiac on the case, with projections that can put us in first place. He's a brainiac, brainiac, he's my clay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.